Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Hello, playoffs. Welcome to the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. I'm Brian Compton. I'll be joined by Ryan Pollock in just a few minutes. Joining me now, my co-host, Mike Carver. Mike, you got your suntan lotion ready to go?
I can't wait, Bri. It's going to be a lot of fun. Islanders and the Florida Panthers, both teams with some very long playoff droughts. Yes. Something has to give. It's going to be very exciting.
The Islanders will face the Florida Panthers after falling to the Flyers. Ranger fans up in arms, Mike, basically accusing the Islanders of throwing the game. They had a 2-0 lead against the Flyers in the first 10 minutes.
Right. Accusing the Islanders of throwing the game. Meanwhile, the Rangers didn't play Lundqvist, Zuccarello, et cetera, Saturday afternoon against the Detroit Red Wings. But, you know, the Rangers would have did the same thing.
Absolutely.
The Rangers were in the same exact spot on Sunday night that the Islanders were in. They would have did the same thing. And you know what? If the Rangers wouldn't have played, let's say, mediocre to bad hockey over the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season, they probably should have had home ice against the Penguins in the first round. So they have nobody to blame but themselves with the situation they're sitting in. They shouldn't have even been in a spot where they could have been a wild card.
Rangers are heading to Pittsburgh. Don't forget to check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lacazzi, and this week NHL.com's Matt Cubetta. We're going to talk about the Rangers-Penguins series, which I think is going to go 7 games, Mike. You can find both shows on the SNY.TV Hockey Podcast channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Isles in Florida, here we go. It's the matchup the majority of the Islanders fan base wanted. I've been saying all along, don't underestimate these guys, Mike. Jágr, Ekblad, Huberdeau, the list goes on and on. Former Islander Roberto Luongo between the pipes. This is going to be a very tough series, but I think it's one the Islanders can win, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Absolutely it is, Brian. I think I kind of started banging the drum a couple weeks ago when we were sitting here saying the best chance for the Islanders to move on would be a matchup with the Florida Panthers to win their first series since 93. That doesn't mean I thought that the series was going to be easy at any stretch. Like you say, Jágr, Luongo, Campbell, a lot of young guys with a lot of firepower on that team. Not a whole lot of playoff experience besides those guys. And, you know, Hudler and Purcell, you know, a couple guys who have had some playoff experience. But I think that this is a good opportunity for the Islanders here, Bri, and something that they got to take advantage of. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a 6 or 7 game series, I believe. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be a lot of very exciting, I think.
There are other events going on in both buildings. Right. So we have a couple of quirks in the schedule. The first one, Mike, we got back-to-back games to open the series. Game 1 Thursday night at 8, Game 2 Friday night at 7:30. I think this benefits the Islanders because I don't have a good feeling about Game 1 just going down there. The building's going to be loud. The Panthers are going to be all fired up to have home ice advantage, although I don't think it's going to be a huge deal as the series goes along.
That's not what I was told over the weekend, Brian. I was told that they have a great home ice advantage down there. I had people on Twitter telling me how don't underestimate that building down there. They're very, which, you know what I think? Get serious.
Yeah,
that's what
I
think.
I don't think it's the Montreal Forum.
Go
it's
away.
78,
all right. It's the Florida Panthers.
But anyway, back to my point.
Sorry.
I have a bad feeling about Game 1, but I think it's a good thing that they get right back at it. They don't even have a day to think about it. They won't have a morning skate. They'll have an optional or whatever else. But then you play Friday night and you go right back at it. I think it's a good chance for the Islanders to go get a split.
No question. And like you say, it's an unusual situation playing 1 and 2 back-to-back. And then you got 2 days off between games 3 and 4 in Brooklyn. Listen, you know, the Barclays Center and the BB&T Center down in Miami, they're both in the business of making money, which they scheduled events months in advance. Personally, I don't know what the Barclays was really thinking. I guess they didn't have a lot of faith in the Islanders and or the Nets making the playoffs because they've got boxing there.
Well, they had
Saturday,
to know the Nets
Monday,
weren't gonna
make it. Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, you can't fault them. They're trying to, you know, they got to book events in the building. It's not the ideal situation, but I agree with you in the fact that it could be a little bit of an advantage for the Islanders if they lost that game Thursday night and they get right back out there on Friday. Quick turnaround. And then you go to Brooklyn, and that's going to be interesting for me to see what that building is going to be like, first playoff experience in the Barclays Center. But not ideal. But listen, you got to work around it. It's the way it is.
Like,
you got to play where you're told.
You can't fault the folks down there for booking other events. Who thought the Panthers are going to have home ice advantage
and
in the first round?
And they
of the
only have one thing, which is Wednesday night.
They probably called Bette Midler or whoever it is months ago to make sure they had something going on in the building.
Right. And listen, that's one. And with Florida, it's just a one night thing. They had Wednesday night booked. All right. Well, they still have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you know, open that they could have used. The Barclays is the one that really had the tight scheduling because they had Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, all with boxing going on in the place. So the Monday and Tuesday is where they really got hurt, because that, you know, kind of prevented them from doing an every other day scenario in this series.
Especially if they win game three to go up 2-1, then you got a couple of days off. You kind of lose some momentum. Right?
It's just got to play what's given to you, and this is the way the series shakes out. It's going to be decided on the ice no matter which way you look at it.
I don't really want to gauge how they played over this past weekend because there are so many guys missing. But last week, Mike, they played really well beating Tampa. The game in Washington, I thought they had no chance of winning and came back to win that game. And then they were really good in the Garden as well.
They played well in that Ranger game, and they played well all week, Bri. They really did. And some of their best wins of the season. And I'm going to throw out the weekend. Nobody played. Yeah, we know that. Yeah. In Buffalo and Philly games.
You can't get a gauge on
that. As far as I'm concerned, the Islander regular season ended Thursday night at Madison Square Garden when they played that Ranger game. And if you just go from that point backward, they really finished the season strong. And with a couple guys out of the lineup, they're going to be missing some guys, as we know, in this series coming up with Florida. But I thought that unlike last year, where the Islanders stumbled into the playoffs, a couple of bad losses, whether it was the embarrassing goal in Philadelphia, the final game against Columbus at home. The Islanders really went into the playoffs with a bad taste last year.
Different vibe this time around.
And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, the season ended Thursday at the Garden. You take from that point backward, Islanders really going in with some push, with some momentum, and playing some decent hockey.
And Michael, you kind of called me crazy last week when I said Travis Hammond is going to play in this series.
I didn't call you crazy.
You said we were not going to see him in this series.
Well, because I just
play the tape, Jay. Roll it back.
You can play it, Jay. It's fine. I did say that because you know how these things go, bro. I hate when I don't get updates on guys, and then poof, out of nowhere, there's Travis Hamnick skating around Saturday morning.
That's fair, but we know the kind of guy Travis is, and I said if he can crawl, he's going to play.
Well, now we know that he can crawl because we actually saw him Saturday night
standing upright.
And after the guys went off, he was out making some hard cuts on the ice, doing whatever he was doing. You saw they sent Mayfield back to Bridgeport, which is another sign that it looks like Hamnick's going to be ready. He missed the whole series last year. You know he's dying for a taste.
He
wants in there
for 12
months. And if he maybe has been okay for the last week or so and they just were kind of easing him along, I'm fine with that. Because just like this weekend when the Islanders sat guys left and right, the main concern was going in healthy. When they lose Lee on Thursday, they're losing guys all over the place. You got to be healthy going into these series. And if Hamnick's coming back healthy, it's a great thing for them. All hands on deck. That's the way it's got to be.
Travis at 65% is better than anybody else, really.
Brian,
100.
Straight
at 100.
Guys they
have, right? No, but it's I'm not trying to knock anybody else,
either.
But you need Travis Hamnick if you're going to win this series.
Listen, we saw it last year. Yep. Go watch the tape of the seven-game
series.
They
win that series with a healthy Travis Hamnick.
I believe that.
They do. Look at game two, right? They blew the two-goal lead in Washington.
I think if Hamnick is healthy last year, they win that series.
Anders Lee, as you mentioned, just a huge blow for the Islanders. He was finally starting to get going, Mike, and he's one of the very few guys they have that's willing to take a beating in front of the net.
He was getting hot. It had finally come around for him this year where you were starting to see his name on the score sheet just about every night. Yep. He was getting in there. He was getting in front of the net, doing what he does best. This hurts, Bri.
It's a big loss. It's a really big loss.
Because you don't really have any other guys.
It's
got to
be Brock, man.
Does.
It has to be Brock Nelson.
Well, you know, I don't believe that Brock's got the, you know, is going to do
Jack singled him out again, saying he's probably the guy that's going to have to fill that role. Look, he's got the frame. He's not built like a brick you-know-what like Anders is, but he does have the height, and he does have the hands.
Tough for Anders, who was really hoping to get back into a playoff game after ridiculously being sat at the end of that Washington series last year. Anders was really hoping to get back out there and kind of prove himself in the playoffs. So, very tough blow for the Islanders heading into this series.
Yeah, get well soon, Anders, for sure. And Mikhail Grabowski, Mike, the guy I don't think we see at all.
No, he's done.
Unfortunate, because he's actually one of the guys you need. Two-way player, can win face-offs if need be. He does all the little things. He didn't score as many goals as he should have, given the paycheck, but he's a guy that could have helped them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's had this problem now a couple years, Brian. It's tough. The concussion... Yeah. You never know. You never know what's going to happen there. And unfortunately for Mikel, I mean, this is just the way it is for him right now. And the best thing for him is to not play right now. It's just that simple.
Yaroslav Halak facing shots in practice. Do we see him in this series,
No,
Mike?
No.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I think this series will hinge on Thomas Greiss. He is going to be the guy he is going to be in there. I don't think Halak's going to be ready at all. And let's say the Islanders are up 2-1, and Halak has said that I'm healthy, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you can't play
You're playing him?
No way. You can't.
Are you taking the chance?
No, forget taking the chance. You're going to do that to Thomas Greiss after winning you 2 of 3.
I mean, you want to tell me the Isles, you know, are going into a game six. How about Isles game six down 3-2? Halak says I'm healthy. You playing him?
Oh, that's a tough call, right?
How about that?
That's a tough call.
Let's say it's 2-2.
Is he their best goaltender?
When everybody is at full strength, yes.
Well, then he has to play that game, right?
Let's say the Isles, it's a 2-2 series. Greiss has a bad game five. They're down 3-2, going home. And Halak shows up that morning and says, guys,
I'm ready to go.
I'm healthy. Are you playing him?
I think you have to.
I do, too.
I think you have to.
I think you have to play him. But I don't think you're going to see that. I think he's still a couple weeks away.
But I agree with you that Greiss is going to be the guy in this series. And this goes back to Travis, man. You have to have a healthy Travis Hamonic because we don't know what we're getting from Thomas Greiss. This is a whole new deal for him. He's played one playoff game and it was in relief. We don't know what we're getting from Greiss. Hamonic's got to be healthy. They've got to have six healthy defensemen playing the style that we've seen when they're on top of their games.
Aside from health, Bri, which we know is a key factor in every series in the NHL playoffs for every team, we know that health plays a part into every series. So I'm going to put health on the side. For me, two biggest keys in this series for the Islanders to win.
Do it. What?
Thomas Greiss.
Yep.
Has to. If they get good performances from Thomas Greiss, I think that they're going to win the series. Two, I think the Islanders special teams can dominate the Florida Panthers special teams. The Islanders penalty kill finished fourth in the league this year.
Yep.
Much improved over last year. The Florida Panthers, despite having some explosive players, their power play in the bottom third of their league, their penalty kill in the not good at all.
Yeah.
Penalty kill not very bad poor in the bottom third of the league. If the Islanders can get a little bit on the power play and just do the penalty kill like they have this year, I think special teams and Greiss, Islanders are going to win this series. For me, those are the two things for me, Brian.
I would have to agree with that for sure. Joining us now on the Islanders Point Blank Podcast is Islanders defenseman Ryan Pulock. Ryan, Brian, and Mike, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for a few minutes. Before we get started, we got to have a little fun here because we've had is it Pulock? Is it Pulock? Is it come on, Ryan. Just please tell us. Pronounce the last name for us once and for all.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I go by Pulock, but
Pulock.
It really doesn't matter. I mean,
it won't matter. It's got to matter. It's your last name, brother. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but I think most people were calling me like Pulock and it really didn't matter. And then one day I was asked, like, someone, I guess, said something to, you know, I think it was Kimber, and he's like, how do you actually pronounce your name? And I was like, well, it doesn't matter to me, but like, and then I asked my parents, like, for sure. And it's like, they're like Pulock, P-U-L, and then like Lock. So yeah, I go by that.
Yeah, I mean, Kimber, I mean, I love Kimber. He's one of my good buddies, but he should have asked you this at the draft, Ryan. Why is he waiting until 2016 to ask you how to pronounce your name, man?
Well, I think what happened is, I think maybe he said something about he got an email from someone. I don't know, but anyways, that's what happened.
Okay, so Pulock, like a Polish person. Do I have
yeah.
this right? Okay, got it. All right, so we got that out of the way, Mike. It's Pulock.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, it took all 82 games to figure out who you guys are playing. It's the Florida Panthers. Give us a quick take on what you think of these guys. I think a lot of people are underestimating them, just all the talent that they have. They have a nice blend of youth and veteran guys. Jagr's 44 years old and is still putting up points like crazy. What's your take on the Florida Panthers here?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, they have a great team. Like you said, they have some really high-end skill. I think, you know, they're pretty depth. I think they have some good goaltending in net as well. So, obviously, it's going to be a tough series. But I think it doesn't really matter who you play at this point of the year. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be tough.
Ryan, how are you feeling right now confidence-wise? You know, in and out of the lineup a little bit. You've gotten in there now the last couple of games. How do you feel your game is right now as the Islanders get ready to start the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point right now, I feel, you know, the best I've felt. Every game, you kind of get more comfortable, more confident, and to be able to play here quite a bit lately, it's really helped with that.
Was it tough, Ryan, to get called up and then have to sit and wait for an opportunity? Obviously, you know, you want to play every night. You played really well in Bridgeport. You earned a chance to be here. And then you get here and you kind of have to wait around a little bit for Jack to insert you into the lineup. How tough was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I mean, obviously, it kind of gave me a chance to, you know, get here, get comfortable with the guys again, you know, get a feel for it. And then, but yeah, I mean, I got some good practice in before I was able to play. And then, you know, I was just waiting for my opportunity. And once I got it, you know, obviously it was a special moment for me. Obviously playing my first NHL game, and it's just been great down the stretch here.
Ryan, how about you know, a couple of the guys on the blue line helping you out a little bit? You got veterans like Boychuk, Letty, etc. How about those guys kind of helping you along here as you get some of your first taste of NHL experience?
Yeah, they've been great. You know, Boychuk, Letty, Hamonic, you know, everyone, Hickey, all those guys. They've all been great. Little pointers here and there, you know, little tips. You know, really positive with me. It's really helped.
Ryan, when you didn't make the team out of camp, the numbers were down a little bit for you in the A. I'm assuming that's just because you had more of a focus on the defensive end of the game before you knew you were going to get the call. Is that fair for me to say?
Yeah, for sure. It's an area of my game that I knew I really had to focus on and had to improve on, you know, to be a, you know, an everyday NHL player. So it was something I've kind of taken pride in lately to improve. And obviously I know I can still take steps in that, you know, defensive game. And it's something I'm going to continue to work on here. But I think, you know, the improvements I made over this year, I think have really helped me.
But at the end of the day, Ryan, you're still like winding up that big shot at the blue line, right? I mean, you love getting that thing on the power play, lining it up and putting it on. How about the big blast there at the line?
Yeah, for sure. It's a big part of my game, and whenever I get an opportunity, you know, to shoot, I'm going to try to use it, and I think, you know, it can really be a weapon at different points in a game. So it's something I'm going to continue to try to, you know, get off more, for sure.
Ryan, I mean, I think this can be the difference, not to put too much pressure on you here, but this could be a huge difference in the series if you get to play and get time on the power play. We know how huge special teams are in the playoffs. If you get to play and get to quarterback the power play, it could be the difference in the series.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, myself, you look at, it's, you know, if I get to play, it's, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, and, you know, I want to be that difference maker. You know, every year, you know, those teams have those guys that step up, whether it's a young guy or someone that's, you know, not usually putting up those numbers or whatever, and then, you know, come playoffs and they step up and be that big impact. And, you know, if I get my chance to play in the playoffs, that's, you know, something I'm going to look to do and, you know, just try to help the team win as much as I can.
You know, Ryan, obviously this is the first year the Islanders won't be playing playoff games at the Nassau Coliseum. Now, I know you didn't get that experience, and now here we are, new building, the Barclays Center. Have the guys in the room kind of been wondering what's it going to be like here when we start to play some playoff hockey in this new building?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to, you know, watch some games last year in the playoffs, and the atmosphere was incredible. You know, like, sitting up there watching it just, like, kind of gives you the chills. So it was cool to watch. But I think it'd be interesting. But obviously the Islander fans are so faithful. I think, you know, come playoff time, they're going to be there, and they're going to be loud. They're going to be, you know, cheering for us, and it's going to really help us.
Ryan, what was the feeling in the room when Travis went down? It looks like he's skating now, which is a great sign. Hopefully you see him at some point during the series. And how vital is it that you have a healthy Travis Hamonic for this playoff run here?
Yeah, obviously that's a tough loss. He's a huge part of this team and, like, a huge part of the back end. And, you know, I think obviously he's been working hard here these last couple of weeks, you know, trying to get himself ready. And, you know, he's a warrior. I'm sure at some point we'll see him, for sure. And, you know, he's going to give it his all.
Yeah, hopefully we see him very soon. Ryan, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. And I will see you in Fort Lauderdale, my friend. Safe travels.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ryan.
How about that, Michael? Breaking news on the show. It is Ryan Pollock.
Ryan Pollock. There it is. We have finally solved the riddle that is how to say Ryan Pollock's last name. And he gave us something that we didn't even use at all this year.
That would have been my umpteenth guess.
Pollock.
I never would have guessed Pollock, Ryan
Pollock. Here we are. Pollock. Ryan Pollock. We have it now, Bri. Good stuff from Ryan.
Thanks again to Ryan for coming on the show. And for me, Mike, Travis or no Travis, Ryan should play. I'm sorry. I don't want to see Mara Zidlicky in there. No offense to him.
I know
Jack
playing,
loves
though.
His veterans.
He's playing guys with playoff experience.
Oh, come on, man. Don't
you know he is.
Me.
You know he
we
is.
We just spent 3 minutes saying how important special teams are, and then we're not going to see him?
Oh, I agree with Hey, I know what I said.
Well, I can't yell at Jack. I got to yell at you.
That doesn't mean that Jack's going to do it. You know how he's going to operate here, Bri. Now, maybe he's seen enough from Ryan Pollock the last couple of games where he's going to say, you know what, I got to get this kid in. But you know him. He gets into the playoffs. He wants guys.
All right, so Zdlinski game one, Pollock game two? Is that fair?
I think that if...
Back to back.
Well, he can't...
He can't play Zdlinski back to back.
He hasn't done it all year. He's not going to do it games one and two. We're talking Hamonic back. So you got Hamonic, Letty, Boychuk, Hickey.
Hickey, Pollock, pairing three.
Hickey, Pollock, pairing three.
Just let the kid play. Let him play.
I'm with you. And there's another guy now that looks like he's back in the mix here, Brian, and that's Pelech.
Yeah.
So Pelech looks like he might be involved here too.
That's fine.
So
these guys need to know that there's somebody breathing down their neck for playing time.
Pelech or Pollock? Who do you want in? I'm sorry. I know it sounds. Pelech or Pollock?
There's a lot of Lex
want?
And Locks going on
like,
in Lux. And,
who, your choice. You could have one of them.
Pollock, for sure.
Yes, I agree with
because
you.
Because you need the righty shot. I want him on the point on the power play,
Mike. Just, like we talked about before we talked to Ryan, I think that special teams are going to play a big part in this series. And if Pollock's back there giving the big shot, as I just asked him about there, I think that that's key for them.
You want to go around the league and do some predictions?
We can do that, and then we'll finish up with our predictions for our Panthers, right?
Let's start in the East here. We'll start within the Metropolitan Division. Caps and Flyers, I think Philly is going to give the Caps a fit. I really do. It's a bad matchup for Washington. Having said that, I think they'll squeak it out. I think they'll win in six.
I'm with you 100%. I think Caps in six.
So much pressure on Washington.
I think
so
Flyers, a lot of pressure. When you have the type of regular season that the Washington Capitals have had, and then you compound that in the fact with Alex Ovechkin and the other guys in that team who have been there for so long and haven't gotten to a Stanley Cup final. I mean, geez, I mean, they barely ever get out of the first or second round.
No.
So a lot of pressure
the
on these guys.
The questions from Canadian media down in Washington start Monday, Mike, about all the pressure and what are you going to do to get over the hump and
well,
how do you block that stuff out? I'm telling you, it
well,
starts today.
Well, that's also
today.
Because the Canadian media has nothing to do now. They don't have any Canadian.
They still work, Mike. They cover the playoffs.
I mean, they don't have any Canadian teams in the playoffs,
jeez.
So they need to find
laying
teams
guys
to
off
cover.
Here for God's sake.
Hey, I'm not laying anybody off.
Good
just
God.
Making it. Hey, saying what it is. There's
industry's
no Canadian
in bad
teams
shape.
In the playoffs.
It's not that bad, dude.
Well, listen, come on. But I think that Washington gets by. A lot of pressure on them. But I've talked all year about the additions of guys like Justin Williams, guys who I think can kind of put them over the hump in this spot.
Opie over Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Mason's been good, but that's a
big advantage in goaltending for them. And just a little bit more firepower with Washington. I love the Washington home ice advantage. Not saying that Philly doesn't have one either. That's a great crowd down there in the Wells Fargo also.
Yep.
But I'm big on things like that. And that Verizon Center, the phone booth, as they say, can get pretty wild. So I like Washington 6.
Okay. You got 6. I got 7. No, I said 6 as
you
well.
Said
I'm sorry.
6 as well. Come on.
7, it will be the Rangers and Penguins series, Mike. I think despite the McDonough injury, which I think is going to be the difference in this series, a lot of experience there. Lundqvist is going to have the edge over whoever's in goal for Pittsburgh. We don't even know. Could be Fleury, could be Murray, could be Zakhoff. We don't know who the guy's going to be. But I just think the defensive breakdowns for the Rangers, it just seems to be one after another. And without McDonough, there's nobody there to really maintain all that speed that the Penguins have.
I think that this goes 7 games as well, Bri.
Yeah.
If you tell me that Malkin and Fleury are going to get healthy and are going to play in this series, I think that the Penguins are going to win it. I've thought for the last few weeks the Penguins can't stay this hot for this long. They've played so well down the stretch.
They're not scoring 5 goals a game in the playoffs.
No, and not against Henrik Lundqvist.
No way.
The other thing to factor in, Rangers have owned the Penguins in the playoffs the last couple of years.
I know.
But when you got it, the McDonough injury is so huge.
It's huge
for the Rangers.
Rick Nash has 3 goals in the calendar year, Mike.
And Rick Nash has not proven that he could score goals in the playoffs for the New York Rangers.
Right.
So unless you could tell me that Rick Nash is going to show up and put pucks in the net, I don't see the Rangers winning this series. And I just think that the run that they've had over the last few years, they've played so deep into the season so many times. Eastern Conference Finals last year. Stanley Cup Finals the year before that.
Yeah.
I think that they just...
So much hockey, man.
A lot of hockey for a lot of these guys. I think that finally they might get tripped up here in the first round. But they're not going to go out quietly. I mean, this is going to go 7. But being in the console there for Game 7, where the Penguins do not play well.
Yeah.
Game 7's at home for the Penguins. are not good for them over the last few years. The Rangers have actually beaten them a couple times there in Game 7, but I think it goes 7. If the Penguins get relatively healthy, I think they win.
Tampa Bay and Detroit, a lot of guys banged up. No Stamkos, no Stroman. That being said, Mike, I think Tampa finds a way. I like John Cooper a lot. I'll say Lightning in 7.
I think Lightning in 6.
Okay.
I like Lightning in 6. They could shut down. Is it this the last? No, next year. Last year. Is this the last year in the Joe? Is it next year?
One more year in the Joe. This is the last year in Edmonton.
Can't wait till they close that place down. So,
it's a good barn. Come on.
Enough with Hockey Town.
Have you been there before?
Yeah. No.
Have you ever even been to the Joe?
No, I'm just tired of the whole Hockey Town thing. That's
why?
All.
It's a great thing.
Enough. I was hoping that Boston would eke them out and get in the playoffs. I'm just not a Detroit Red Wing.
25 years in a row.
Good job by
25
them.
25 years in a row.
I think the Lightning find a way. I think they get it done in 6. I like the Lightning to move on.
I agree. Let's go out west. My upset of the first round, Minnesota over Dallas.
I agree
6.
With you. How about that?
I like their edge on defense. I like their edge in goal. I'm not crazy about Letton or Niemi. I know Niemi's won a cup, but I'll say Wild in 6, man.
I'm with you 100%. I like the Wild to win this. They've been in there the last couple of years. They've won some rounds here and there, the Minnesota Wild. I like Minnesota. And then they'll be bounced by Chicago again, just like they are every year. So
I figured you would have St. Louis over Chicago.
Come on.
No?
You know what?
You're
we
high
might
on
as
the
well
Blues.
Skip it all here. We know... Guys, Chicago and L.A. in the Western Finals. You know it's happening. The poor St. Louis Blues, the frauds of the West, once again get stuck with the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round.
Yeah.
Unlucky for them. Wouldn't have mattered. Even if they would have won a round, they would have played Chicago in the next one. They would have lost then. So it doesn't really matter when the Blues play the Blackhawks. They're going to lose.
How many games?
I
have 6.
I probably 5. Maybe
5?
Maybe 6. 6 at the most. If it gets to 6... And Chicago's up 3-2. There's no way St. Louis is getting out of that building alive.
Panarin wins the Calder, right? As good as Gossespierre was?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think
right?
so.
Anaheim and Nashville. Ducks are my pick to win the Cup. They were my preseason pick. I'm sticking with it. I love the way they played over the second half of the season. I will say Ducks over the Preds in 6.
Ducks in 6 as well. I'm with you there. I think that they could give them some trouble. Could be a 7-game series.
No, Nashville's good,
but
man.
I like the Ducks to win that series, and then you know what will happen to them in the next round.
Oh. That leaves us with L.A. and San Jose, which I think is going to be a war, Mike. I love the way these two teams play when they go head-to-head. San Jose is better than you think. I know you think they're frauds like the Blues.
They're frauds, baby.
But they got a different mix now with Joel Ward and Paul Martin, guys like that. Joe Thornton looks like he's revitalized. Whether that continues into the playoffs, we'll see. But I'll say Kings in 7, and it's going to be probably the most entertaining series of all of them.
It's an annual rite of passage in the spring. The San Jose Sharks getting bounced by the LA Kings. It will happen again here. Yeah, they might put up a fight for a few games, but eventually LA will win. I'll say LA in 6. The Sharks aren't beating the Kings, Bri.
I didn't say they were going to win.
I know that.
I said
but
LA
just,
in 7.
I'm just letting you know.
Said LA in 7, and it will be the most entertaining first-round series
like
of
I
all.
Like I said, when you fill out those brackets, if you don't have the Kings and the Blackhawks playing in the West Finals, you're doing something wrong.
Folks, so. If you can stay up late to watch those games, I highly encourage it. It's going to be a lot
and
of fun.
And I love them because they start them at 10:40 on the East.
Yeah.
By the time I get home from work, you know, a little after midnight, I got the whole third period
right.
still to go. It's great.
I love it. You'll see 3 overtimes.
Oh, that's nothing better than playoff hockey. And Brian Compton's tweets every night, oh, look, more playoff hockey.
That's right. They're
so
coming.
You have that coming
get
as well.
Ready.
So
they'll
be
start
ready.
Wednesday night. All right, man, let's do it. I know some fans are going to hate this because every time I pick the Islanders, it goes the other way.
Right.
But for me, it's been 23 years. They're bound to win one of these years. I think this is a pretty good matchup for them, more ideal than Pittsburgh, although I think a lot of people are underestimating this Florida team. I think they're really good from the cage out. But if Travis can play, and it looks like he's going to, I don't know if it'll be game one, but we'll see him by game 3 at home. Mark my words, we will see him. When the Islanders return back here to New York after the first 2 down south. Special teams is huge. The Islanders' PK has been fantastic all season long. If they play a disciplined game and get the goaltending that they need from Thomas Grace, he can't allow some of the goals that we saw down the stretch, Mike. If he does that, they're in a whole lot of trouble. Luongo's going to be good. We know that. But I think if Grace can be almost as good and the PK can continue to perform, I'll say Islanders in 6. They will win it at home. How about that?
Grice and the special teams, Bri, I'm with you. I think that if the Islanders get back to the Barclays Center up 3-2 for a game 6, they will close it out. If they're down 3-2, I think they can win a 7th game on the road, and that Very tough building down in South Florida. I think the Islanders can win a game seven down there. If it comes to that,
right.
I think it will be 6 or 7 games. I'm with you. I like the Islanders in 6 at home to beat the Florida Panthers. Grice and the special teams lead the way. The streak will be over. I also, another little factor, besides Yager and Luongo and et cetera, I like that the Islanders' young guys have had some taste of this, have had some playoff.
That has to help, right?
Has had some playoff disappointments over the past couple years, be it Washington, be it Pittsburgh series over the last 3 years, whereas the kids on the Florida Panthers haven't gotten to experience that yet, whether it be the Huberdos, whether it be the Barkovs, the Gabransons, the Ekblads, et cetera, have not gotten to taste that yet, Bri.
Yeah, that's
so maybe that pushes the Islander young guys a little bit over the Panther young guys for me. Isles in 6.
Before we go, let's challenge this fan base right now. Fill the building.
Please.
Obstructed or not obstructed, I want 15-7 at Barclays next Sunday night for Game 3. No excuses.
No excuses.
2 years in a row with 100 points, a boatload of talent. I know they're banged up, and they probably should have finished higher in the standings. Fill the building, please. Please.
And you're going to get a genuine feel of what an Islander playoff game can be like.
Yeah, let's see what it's like.
Because you have the Florida Panthers coming in.
Right.
So there's no visiting fans coming in.
Right.
You don't have the Rangers. You don't have the Flyers, the Penguins, all these teams that in your division that will bring their fans into that building. You don't have that.
Right.
If I see a Florida Panther sweater in the Barclays Center on Sunday night, I'm going to be shocked. So that place better be filled with Islander fans. The challenge is out there. B-Comp has laid it down.
Get your tickets.
Accept
right
now.
I'm on a flight to Fort Lauderdale on Wednesday. Mike, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you, buddy.
Thanks again to Ryan Pollock. Don't forget, we're on Stitcher. Tune in, Audible, and SoundCloud. You can always go to iTunes. Just search SNY.TVHockey. And please make sure to rate and review the show. I'm Brian Compton. He's Mike Carver. Enjoy the series, folks. See you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.